everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 25th, 2013, and we're going to talk a little community in just a few minutes here and hope to update you on the various things that this radio ministry hopes to do in the coming days. One includes an interview, maybe on Monday and Tuesday, with author Brandon O'Brien, who recently wrote the book entitled Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes, Removing Cultural Blinders to Better Understand the Bible, which I think is a very interesting read, and I've just started it, and hopefully on Monday and Tuesday we'll have Brandon share why he wrote the book and what we can gather from it. Tonight's our Rabbi Jesus series. Realizing again that this morning's program re-airs, so if you can still plan to make it out to the Community Evangelical Free Church at 6:30, we're going to be meeting downstairs. Yep. And if a few of you guys, I know we are working on a setup team, want to come a little earlier, say at 6 o'clock, and help get all the tables and everything organized, that will help because we've been packing the upper room, the upstairs Sunday school classroom area, and we're moving it downstairs to accommodate more of you to come out and study God's Word together. It's a great time of fellowship and of learning. So that's tonight at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right on Route 47. It's at Riverbend Boulevard. What's that address?
102 West Riverbend Boulevard, Mahomet, Illinois.
And so that'll be at 6:30 tonight, so hope you can make it. Let's see, I mentioned the interviews on Monday and Tuesday. I know that there's a women's conference coming to Bloomington. We're working on a special interview with
Jill Savage of Hearts at Home.
We've had her on in the past over a couple of years about that great event that happens in Bloomington Normal, and she always jokes about it's the one time that all the chocolate throughout the Bloomington area is bought and there's nothing left on the shelves.
Tasha always takes a big, huge bag of, like, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or peanut M&Ms with her. And she said that the women will nudge her, and she'll, you know, she kind of opens her purse, and they stick their hand in there. It's, like, real secretive, even though everybody's doing it. I told her this morning, I was laughing. I said, hey, we're going to be interviewing Jill Savage at some point here. And she goes, really? And I looked at her with the kind of sly eye, and I go, we're going to find out what really happens at that conference.
Yeah, what all you women really talk about.
So are you guys shopping? What are you guys really doing?
What's going to go on? So we'll have more to say about that in the coming days and all the specifics so you can attend. And I've been getting great feedback from the Carol Kent special retreat that the women had at the Christian Life Church in Rantoul. A couple people were so pleased that I interviewed her for a couple days and attended, and they said she did a wonderful work in my life. So women, men for that matter, if there's a conference that you can go to that specializes on drawing you closer to God, highlighting God's Word, raising it up as something that you should read on a daily basis, we would encourage you to attend. And we're certainly glad you're tuned in this morning and listening to Christian Radio. God can use that to fortify you on your faith journey. As oftentimes, those of you that are involved in community groups can see the value of learning and sharing and growing together. And we had a little community on Wednesday. You guys, you and Stu, behind the scenes worked and sharing a little of, I guess, a story on me and brotherhood. But brotherhood is an important thing, as are communities. And I know you were saying this past Tuesday night you had a great community group. So maybe before we jump into the Book of Ruth, which we've been doing for, I think we're at, this would be the 11th in the series. I had to look up my Roman numerals because I hadn't written a Roman numeral 9 in a long time. I was thinking, I knew 8 was V111.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what's the 9? Is that the 10 minus the 1? And I looked it up to verify. And so I think I got my Roman numerals for the next few weeks. But today I think it would be X1.
Uh-huh.
Or X2. I can't remember if this is the 11th or the 12th. But we'll get to Ruth in just a minute. But share a little about community.
It's a practice that we do in our church. We have what's called community groups. And they meet on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, and they meet purposely in people's homes. I guess they could meet at the church, but they need to meet in homes because that's how it happened in the Bible. That's how it happened early in the book of Acts, is that people met home to home. And I'll give you just a snapshot of this past Tuesday night at our community group. You know, we have about 15 or 16 adults there, chairs just all over the place in our living room. I mean, it looked like, I don't know, it just looked like a college dorm, I want to say. Almost, we had chairs everywhere and people sitting everywhere. We had probably a dozen kids running around, you know, our kids and some other folks brought their kids. And so we got kid noise going on. We've got parent noise. People are laughing. They're talking. They're praying. They're eating. A couple of people brought homemade buffalo chicken dip in this big crock pot, and somebody else brought another dip. And we were joking last night that ever since we started hosting community groups, which would be about a year now, we have never had to buy taco chips in our house because every week there's a half a bag of taco chips left over. In fact, the other day Tasha goes, we've got 5 half bags of taco chips in our closet. And so last night when the door opened and in comes all our community group folks, another 4 bags of taco chips came in the door. So, you know, our community group is sponsored by Tostitos.
Yes, yes.
We wear, you know, like the NASCAR suits. Yeah. But, you know, we had buffalo chicken dip. We had celery with this cream cheese stuff on it. We had pizza. We had dips. So we're eating. We're laughing. We're praying. We're telling stories. We're doing life. Kids are running around. And in the midst of that, we're opening up the Word of God. And I want to tell you what. I think in our Western culture, and please, as a caveat, tune in and hear Brandon's interviews on misreading Scripture with Western eyes, because it ties into what I'm going to say here. With our Western eyes, our Western sensibility, we think a Bible study has to be a very quiet, a very kind of sterile environment. We're going to study the Word of God now. You know, and I just want you to know at our community group, we're doing a Bible study and there is noise. There is kids running around. There's music playing. There's like life happening. And I'm going to tell you what, there isn't one adult who was not still fixated on the Word of God, that the Word of God was open. And it reminds me of stories that I hear about my friends who come from missions trips in third world countries. Then they come and say, you know what, I was in Haiti and I was at this church and the worship band was playing and the guy was preaching and there were kids running around and yelling and screaming and there were animals and there was chickens and there was all this craziness happening. And I never experienced the Spirit of God like I did in that moment.
You know, I'm thinking, and you've been to Israel and the Sermon on the Mount, the area that they claim, or they, at least the vicinity they're pretty certain about where Jesus spoke the words that we love out of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, or the words that are recounted. Sometimes we just kind of hear those words and we picture, wow, there he's preaching away. And people were like in almost like a picnic setting, sitting down, kids are running around, there's probably some animals and food laid out and people next to other families and a lot of fellowship and talking and sharing. And so it wasn't like they were in a theater setting, everyone was glued to what Jesus was saying. There's probably a ton of life going on in the midst of him sharing some of the most profound words ever heard or spoken.
Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes we get our idea of what it is wrong. And, you know, it's really funny because I see a lot of my friends who are preachers and pastors and ministers and whatever else, and they'll be in the midst of teaching or preaching or whatever they want to call it. And there'll be some kid who yells or a cell phone that goes off, and it totally disrupts their world. I mean, and you've probably seen that, haven't you? Where it just kind of throws them. And you know what? It's happened to me, and this is not because I'm more skilled or more deft at what I do, but it doesn't bother me. I go, wow, it's just like I'm at home. Kids screaming, kids yelling, wife going off, coffee pot buzzing, telephone ringing. I mean, it's life.
Yeah.
And if we can't do ministry in the midst of life, then sometimes I wonder what ministry are we really doing? I mean, so we do this community group, and it's one of the things I look forward to every week. And God has, I won't want to say God that has blessed it, but God has really done some amazing things there. I mean, stories that people have shared, moments of great healing. You know, times when you can wrap yourself around people and you can say, hey, you know what? I want to encourage you in this moment. Everybody in our community group is great encouragers and cheerleaders of each other. You know, it just reminds me of, currently we're going through the book of Nehemiah, but we're really loosely going through it, and we're looking at the values of what our church is going to do in the coming year.
Now, this is on the Sunday service.
On the Sunday service, yep. But, you know, it extends far beyond the Sunday service because it is essentially what we're going to do for the next year, or actually what we're going to do for the rest of the life of the church. And we're only going to do 4 things. But if you want to hear what those 4 things are, you got to come on Sunday morning and I'll share them with you.
Hey, you know, earlier we were talking about the difference between the community group meeting in your home and the church service. So maybe talk a little about that, because some people are maybe their church doesn't foster the community group sense where you meet in homes. Everything is done at the church. So make a distinction or what you see as the blessing of the community group.
The church service for me is this. Without the church gathering, without us coming together like that, We'll believe in our own personal righteousness. We'll believe that our way is the best way. It's when we come together and we hear Scripture read and we hear Scripture taught and we come together, gathered together, we realize that it's not about our righteousness, but Christ's perfect righteousness. We worship Him. I mean, service is all about, it's all about taking the lens off of us. It's all about getting rid of the me culture and putting it all solely on Jesus. I mean, we get together and we sing songs to Jesus. We learn from Jesus through His Word. We pray to Jesus. The gathering on Sunday morning is about glorifying God.
And there's that biblical mandate, the assembling together. Sure. Do not forsake that.
Sure. And God says don't forsake it, because if you don't, you're going to think you got it all worked out on your own. And you're going to create your own God instead of worshiping the God who created you. Community group is about community. Community is a deeper level. Look, on a Sunday morning, in the midst of all the things that happen, you're not going to be able to share your deepest, darkest thing. But in community group, if it's happening properly, that's exactly what you do. You share the journey you're on. You share the struggles that you're going through. And it's a great moment where God uses truth to be able to speak. Just recently, a lady was telling me, she says, I really think I'm going through a tough season of life, and I don't know if I'm getting anywhere. And I said, well, let's take an inventory of the things that God has done in your life. And because we're in close community and we meet in this community group, we're going, boom, 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 boom. You never would have done these things before. God is – you're moving towards God, and please embrace that and celebrate the fact that you're moving towards God. It's not about – look, the devil would want you to believe about how you have fallen and failed. God would want you to find joy in the fact that even though you have fallen and failed, you're back up on your feet and you're moving towards Him. And community group is where you can find that. You're not going to find that in a church service, unfortunately, because it's a lot of people gathered together. And there, you know, there's, look, I mean, it's tough to share things in a room, a huge room. But with 15 people, there's an intimacy level there that you might not have anywhere else.
Yeah, and you said, like, with that transparency, you can really say and speak truth into maybe a marriage, or I'm observing this, and are you guys praying together, studying God's Word together? And you can really kind of hold their feet to the fire where, how are you going to respond to this now this knowledge?
And our community group, when you come into our community group for the first time, I pull you aside, and I say to you, this community group is, and I'm very stern about this. This community group is a safe place.
Very intentional.
Yeah, very intentional. This community group is a safe place. We covet in this community group that what is said here and shared here stays here. This isn't a point of view to gain gossip, to go out into the world and share, oh my gosh, I was sitting with so-and-so, and guess what? I said, if I ever hear that happening, I will excommunicate you from my group.
Yes.
And I mean it. You know why? Because this is a safe place where you can come and worship and be in community, and you can feel like, look, if you're not going to go and get on the trapeze if you're not sure the net's below. You know what I mean? And I want people to understand the community group is there to catch you when you fall, and it's there to lift you up, and it's there to encourage you, and it's there to show you and speak to you the love of God, that God speaks to each one of us so we can love each other. So we covet in our community group that it is a safe place. Safe place to open up the Word of God, safe place for our kids to be, safe place for us to laugh, love, and pray, and look at God's Word together. So we're talking about these four things, and we're going through Nehemiah. Nehemiah here is, in chapter 8, is a wonderful chapter. It's powerful. The people before this, they're building the wall, and if you read chapter 3, it has 25 references to the fact that these people are next to each other. So they're rubbing shoulders, they're in community, they're building community, something they didn't have prior to that. These people gather together and they tell Ezra, bring out the word of God. These are people from the Babylonian captivity, so they hadn't really probably ever really, really, really heard the word of God, which is like many of us. And so Ezra brings out the word of God, and it says from morning until noon, Ezra reads the word of God. And it says in chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. As he opened it, the people stood up. Now, I want you to understand Hebrew here, because Hebrew only has 4,500 words. So Hebrew operates a lot on word pictures, okay? So Ezra opened the book up. It says two times. He opened the book up and then he opened it up. The Bible makes emphasis that Ezra opens the book up. And what is the response of the people? Well, physically in the book, we see him stand up. But the Hebraic understanding of this is that they rose up. that as the book was opened up, they rose up. The power of God lifted them up to be able to hear and to know. This is a great moment. Not only is God's word open, but the people rise up to hear it.
Yeah, there's probably that receptivity,
right,
too.
Right, it's a willingness. It's a bunch of things. We can't just think like, and then they got up. Like, because we go, oh, well, that's church. We get up, and then, you know, and then we sit back down. I mean, but no, this is that they rose up. There was a willingness. They were rising up to hear the word of God. And then it says that he read from the book, and he says that he made it clear, giving them the meaning so that people could understand what was being read. So people could understand. He didn't get up there with big theological terms. He explained it so that they could understand what was being read. And this is crazy. It says next that, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of God. As he read the word of God, they were weeping. I mean, they were weeping. I don't know how many times a community group were weeping with the word of God and with each other as we journey through. And what is God saying in your journey today? And how is God going to encourage you through one of us? And oh my gosh, we're here for you. And they're reading the word of God and they're weeping. But what's really fascinating is when you go down a little farther, and it says that on the second day of the month, the heads of the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. This is the reason we gather in community group, is because of the word of God. It says this, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim the word of God and spread it throughout the towns and in Jerusalem. Mark, what do you think that means?
They had community.
Okay, but wait a second. What does it mean?
I was just writing a note, too, to make sure, because I was going to lead into but the thought that was crossing my mind as you were asking me that was, how much before Ezra and Nehemiah was Ruth? And that was going to be my transition.
Okay, there's no transition now, because you got me fired up. I'm on all cylinders. Folks, Ruth will happen next week.
Not only that, but I was thinking with back to community, how interesting. This was a concept I just learned a few years ago, but think about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were having community, and that's why love can exist, because love was demonstrated in that, if you will, unusual relationship in the Godhead. So therefore, there can be love, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit had love amongst each
other.
God
always does it first. Read the Bible. Anything God commands you to do, he has already done first. Be holy, just as I am holy. God says, I'm calling you. God says in the Bible, I will make you a great people. I will make you a great people. I will make you a great people. And then at some point, he arrives at the fact that you are a great people. God calls you to it, but he does it first. He models it for you.
Back to the booth. So what was your question?
So what's happening here, Mark? It says that they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout the towns and in Jerusalem. What does that mean?
That we're to be in the word, that we should go out and share the word with others, that we should be intentional on meeting with God and talking about it and evangelizing. And
so about 500 years before Jesus comes on the scene, Ezra opens up the book of the law, and he tells them how they're to worship and love God by making booths and going inside these booths. And then what are they to do? To go in and proclaim it in the land. They're to love God and then love the people around them by proclaiming the word of God to the people around them. Hidden here in Nehemiah is Jesus' essential mandate of how to live, to love God with your whole heart, how to worship God, and then how to go and share that with people. Right here, that's what Ezra's telling him. You want to know what the word's all about? Here it's going to tell you how to worship God and how to be in relationship with God. And then, by the way, go throughout the land and share this with other people. Let other people know about the power of God. And then it goes on to say, day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read the book of the law, and they celebrated. I mean, how many of you celebrate together as you open the book of the law, as you open the word of God? I mean, that's why we do community group, because we're celebrating around the Bible. Look, we don't... The Bible isn't a part of our community group. The Bible is the thing that we wrap our group around. And we live inside of it. We walk through the words. The Bible is a part of every essential part. I mean, sometimes I go, am I crazy? Or, you know, because I'll talk to people and right away I want to give them scripture back. You know, why do you do this? Or you have a problem, let me tell you what the Bible says or what that. Because you know what? I have a lot of good advice. But I want people to hear the gospel. And the gospel is what God has to say. And I want us to rise up and be a people through gathering on Sunday and gathering a community group and all the different ways that we gather and love God together, that we're a people that from the first day until the last day, from the first day you were born until the last, from the first day you heard the word of God until the last day that you take your breath, that you, all you want to do is hear the word of God, and that you want to read God's word, and that you want to be changed and transformed by it, that you'll be weeping during it, and you'll be learning how to better worship God, how to better bring glory to God, and how to better tell people about that. You know, we have a real problem right now in our Western society about being excited about God. How many of you are excited about God? How many of you get up out of bed in the morning and you're jumping up and down and you're going, this is the day the Lord has made and I'm going to tell somebody about it? Or do we get up and we go, oh, it's Monday? I mean, come on. You know, early on, When Rome was in power and the apostles and the disciples early in the book of Acts, it says that they called them people of the book. They didn't call them followers of Christ, but that was implied. They were people of the book. Why? Because they studied the book. They knew the book. They carried the book. But they didn't just carry it in those little cases that look like, you know, those little Christian Bible briefcases that we have. You know, these things were unzipped and opened and ready to go at any time. And we have to be a people of the book who are excited about the book. You know why? Because the book changes us. The book transforms us. And I just want to see people be transformed.
That's why we need to have an opportunity clock waking us in the morning and not an alarm clock. An alarm clock says, good God, it's morning. An opportunity clock says, good morning, God.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Hey, and, you know, two opportunities that will be coming up. Tonight's Rabbi Jesus study. We don't have time to give a sneak preview, but come on out at 6:30 p.m. to the Community Evangelical Free Church if you want to study God's Word with us. And lots more to say real soon about an upcoming community merged gospel study that we're going to have for all of our Great News Radio listeners and friends. We'll be meeting at a central location. We'll be talking about that real soon, and you can be a part of a 10 or 12 week study as we go through the merged gospels, a series put together by Gary Crossland. We interviewed him some months ago, and we might have him back on the air just to talk about the merged gospels, but it'll be a very unique and wonderful study for all of us to gather in Jesus' name, to study God's word together. More to say in the coming days. Hope to see many of you tonight. We'll be meeting at the Evangelical Free Church at 6:30. Hope that you'll make it a point to be in church this Sunday. Attend that Sunday school class maybe that you put off for years or months or weeks, and get in a class at your church and study God's Word. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Shippo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.